Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's just wonderful to see God's house full today. I love it. Seeing all of your smiling faces, what a blessing. And He is risen today, and we've come to celebrate on this Easter Sunday. We want to welcome all of you, and we want to welcome those that may be listening online later on. And it's just so good to see all of you together. And we're just going to begin right away. And so let's all stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patri as we begin this morning.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and never shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ is calling.
Proclaiming life and hope for all.
Well, let's join together there. You can turn either in your hymn books to 264, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, and we're singing, what is there, three verses? All three verses this morning.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always. Talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading my path on the story road. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lived, He lived, Christ Jesus lived. Talks with me along life's narrow way. Jesus lives today.
He walks with me
and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lived, he lived, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lived. He lives within my heart.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Resurrecting God, you are the God of new beginnings, of new dawns, and new mercies. Enter into our presence again. When we move towards the tomb, remind us that you came with life. When we long for your voice, speak a word of hope and peace. May we reflect your image as resurrection people. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Okay. I'm going to sing a very old song. I'm going to date myself. I was a kid, and my dad and mom used to play this on an 8-track in the car. It's an old gospel song. Some of you will recognize it. I've never sang it before, even though I liked it even as a kid. And it's entitled Rise Again.
With us and talk with us. Do you see Jesus walking next to you? I have. Now, if you have, then I'd like to talk to you after the service. I have. But you know what, though? I have had Jesus talk to my heart and even my head at times and let me know about things. And I'm grateful for that. And He walks with each one of us. Yes. You did? Great. Did anybody else get an Easter basket? You know what? I was a little disappointed this year. Because I haven't got any peanut M&Ms yet. And that's what I like to get every year for Easter. Now, don't go out and buy me any. One year I said that, and there was a bag of peanut M&Ms on my desk at that church one Sunday. Yeah. But usually I get those. I even get those in my stocking at Christmas that hangs over the fireplace. I get peanut M&Ms. Because I Santa and I is like this. No, anyway, so, yes. So when you go out and when you go out and get your candy and eggs and all that, and you have fun and you own your Easter egg hunting in a little bit, remember that just like that egg, in probably in minutes or hours are going to be empty, we also know that the grave was empty because Jesus is no longer there. He's alive and He's with us every day. Okay, now one thing I need some help. Are the kids staying here or somebody taking them downstairs this morning?
We can go downstairs.
Okay. Oh, you got them? Okay. I knew you worked with them last week, but I wasn't sure if you were doing both things. Okay. So you guys are going down with Miss Stephanie this morning. And I'm sure there'll be some others that will be down there helping because we have a boatload of kids this morning.
Which is a good thing. I can't say we haven't had good numbers of kids here lately, but it's even great to see even more. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We are not going to take joys and concerns this morning. We usually don't do that on Easter Sunday. But in just a moment, when we have our time of kind of silent prayer and Carla plays, it'll give you a chance there to lift up maybe your prayer concerns to the Lord and lift up some of those names. And then I will come and close us out and pray for all of us and all of those needs. There are a couple ones that I wanted to point out to you. We want to ask your prayers for Dennis Clevenger, who's battling black lung and cancer. And Elaine Meyer, who I talked with this week, she's the surgery went well. She had knee replacement, but she had, as some of you don't know, she had Lyme disease from a tick and has been battling that about a year. And after her surgery, all her symptoms just kind of flared up again. And it's just been kind of a battle there. Appreciate your prayers for her. Another one that was mentioned was Janet DeMoss, a friend of our family who has been diagnosed with cancer. And also for Robin Beatty, who is probably my age in her 50s, had to have her tonsils and adenoids removed, and they can't get her to come off the vent. And need prayers for her this morning. And also for Jody's dad, Bruce, which is on the bulletin there. Two things about her dad. Number one, they've decided to stop doing the chemo treatments. And they're going to be bringing in hospice. And second, he fell last night and broke his shoulder. So he is at the hospital and is going to have to probably go into a home. And I don't know how long. We'll know maybe more later. But just wanted to give you. And if there are certain ones that are on your heart and mind, lift those up as she plays this morning. And And that'll give you a chance to do that because the Lord hears. And so if you would go ahead and play, and then I'll come and close us out in a moment. As we pause this morning, I'm reminded of when many people, when you lived on this earth, that came and brought their sick and their afflicted. And so many people, they brought them to you to be ministered to. And Lord, today we bring the ones today in our own prayers, on our monthly list, and the names that were mentioned this morning, God, that are in just need of your touch today. We think about each one of these, Lord. We think of Dennis and Bruce and Elaine and Robin and Janet today. We think about each one of those on our monthly list, Lord, many of them that are battling cancer and are afflicted and battling various illnesses. And I just ask that you would touch each one of them this morning and minister to them also. And Lord, for each one that was mentioned this morning, as they lifted up their own prayers, Lord, they may have lifted up a name or several names, God, and we just lift them up to you and agree with them, Lord, for you to touch them today. And we ask that your healing presence, your loving grace would minister to each one, and that you would wrap your arms around them and let them know that they're not walking the battle alone, and that you are with them, and that you are the one that we can grab a hold of and cling to and hold on to in our time of need. So I ask that you would minister. And Lord, we also ask your blessing upon the rest of this time together as we break the bread of your word and grow in the word and our faith. And I pray that your blessing will be there and that you would feed us and fill us with faith and hope, Lord. And I also pray that as we come to the table and celebrate communion this morning, that your presence would fill us and that your love would surround us and that you would send us forth this week to walk in the newness of life that you promised us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's in his name we ask all of these things this morning, and we're thankful for all of them. As the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for joining with us in just that moment of prayer this morning. I believe it makes a difference in people's lives. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today, and we just want to thank our folks who are so grateful and faithful in giving, and we know that we trust in the Lord as that God is faithful. So let's give with cheerful hearts today. And as our ushers come, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our dedication of prayer in the bulletin this morning. Giving God, receive this portion of the gifts you have given to us. May our time, treasure, and talents be magnified and multiplied for your glory. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I just want to say thank you to the youth that have been helping us out all morning. They made the breakfast for the sunrise service group and some of those that came in a little bit later on And they've been helping us out in the service this morning. So we appreciate that so much. Also, I just want to say it's so good to see family that I don't always get to see who come in from out of town and get to be here. And it's just a wonderful thing to always get to see all of you again every year. And well, let's move on. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Matthew's take on the resurrection day there on that first morning light. It's our lectionary reading, Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. You can follow along on the PowerPoint. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. But the guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers that I'm going into Galilee. They will see me there." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. One Sunday late in Lent, a Sunday school teacher decided to ask her class what they knew about Easter. The first little fellow suggested Easter is when all the families come to the house and we eat a big turkey and watch football. The teacher suggested that perhaps he was thinking of Thanksgiving and not Easter. Next, a pretty little girl answered and said, "Easter is the day when you come down the stairs in the morning and you see all the beautiful presents under the tree." At this point, the teacher was feeling really discouraged. After explaining that the girl was probably thinking about Christmas, she called on a lad with his hand tentatively raised in the air. Her spirits were perked up as the boy said, "Easter is the time when Jesus was crucified and buried." She thought, "Oh, thank God I got through to at least one child," until he added, "And then he comes out of the grave, and if he sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter." I always like to start with something funny. The kids' ones are always some of my favorite. Angels, earthquakes, and fear. Oh my. In the famous hit show and now iconic movie, The Wizard of Oz, there's a scene in Dorothy's dream where she, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man, and the Lion have to face the haunted forest to retrieve the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. And in that moment, they realize that they must face lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, say it with me. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Probably one of the most famous parts of that. I share that with you because the events of that first Easter morning must have shaken Jesus' first followers to the core. It's bad enough that their teacher had been crucified like a common criminal, but now they arrive at the tomb, and when they arrive there on that morning, they encounter a totally different reality that's taking place. At dawn, when all was quiet, something had taken place that caused them, when they arrived, to say, "Oh my." Matthew doesn't explain exactly what happened, but he does offer several signs that help them. And I believe that those signs help us process that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so let's look quickly at those two signs, and then we're going to see how we kind of respond and how they responded to all of that. First, the first sign is an earthquake. An earthquake. Earthquakes are not altogether common in Scripture, but when they do occur, earthquakes seem to symbolize earth-shattering or God-significant events. Earthquake language often signifies God's powerful presence on the move in a place or places. Like one of the places we are told in the book of Exodus is when the children of Israel looked up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and they saw the fire of God burning. And they said as they got close to the mountain, they could feel the ground shaking because God's presence was so overwhelming. The reason they were looking up on Mount Sinai is because Moses was up there receiving the Ten Commandments at that time. That's just one example. There's other examples in the First Testament. But one of the things I think we see is that God's powerful presence was at work on that first morning. And Matthew's wanting us to see that God was at work in raising Jesus from the dead. See, Matthew does this for several reasons, because Matthew underscores the earthquake language to show us that God is up to something in Jesus. It's interesting, as I was doing a little reading this past week, one of my friends on Facebook, he's a New Testament scholar that teaches at Lancaster Theological Seminary. He pointed out that Matthew alone uses earthquake language to describe several things, three of them that he mentioned specifically. The first one is the storm on the sea. You remember that story? They're out there on the boat, and a storm arises out of nowhere, and the disciples are suddenly overwhelmed and greatly afraid, and Jesus comes walking on the water and asks them what they're afraid of and speaks to the storm and stills the storm. Matthew uses earthquake language also to narrate how the temple curtain that separated people from God's presence was torn in two from the top to the bottom when Jesus spoke the words, "Into my hands I commit my spirit." And he gave up his life on the cross. He is the one that opened up the door for us. And finally, Matthew uses earthquake language here in our reading this morning to describe the moment the stone was rolled away. The sign of the earthquake. Second sign is the appearance of an angel. The appearance of an angel. As we all know, and I think obviously so, is angels are heavenly messengers. The heavenly character of the messenger in this story is highlighted there, right there in our reading. Matthew describes it very vividly that the angel's face was as bright as if lightning had struck right in front of their eyes, and clothes as white as snow. It's interesting in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is transformed in the garden and only James and John and Peter are with him. He's transformed, and Matthew says that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as lightning. highlighting his heavenly character. What does that all mean? I think the angel signals God is at work. Matthew attributes the earthquake to the arrival of the angel. Matthew says that the angel came down, the earth shook, and the stone was rolled away. And then the next thing you know, the angel's inviting the women to come in and look and see. He's not here. Come and see the one you're looking for. And as I was thinking about that this week, I think it's fair to say that God has a variety of ways of sending help through family and friends or angels or whatever means God may use when we are facing our upending, shaking, earth-shaking situations or new realities we're not sure how to deal with. The second sign, the appearance. Now, how do we respond? Responding to these new realities, things that happen. Let me tell you, we all read, understand, interpret situations in our lives in different ways. Dramatic events that happen, scary, earth-shaking events that happen that we weren't expecting. How do we respond? Well, the most obvious way, and often people react in fear. That's what happened in our story this morning. Most people in the Bible respond to earthquakes, angels, and other divine signs with fear. Oh my. Fear is how most people respond when they're confronted with a new and strange reality. The guards are so afraid that they're paralyzed, frozen. They can't even move. But notice in contrast, the women face their new reality by holding on to Jesus. Here's what I want you to see this morning. We may not have some earth-shaking experience. We may not see an angel. But you know what? When we're facing the tough times, the difficult times of life, when we're not sure how we're going to make it through a week or a time period or whatever it may be, or something new is happening in our lives that we've never faced before, I want to remind you this morning that Jesus is always here and we can hold on to Him. For the women, notice that their fear was mingled with great joy. Jesus spoke to their fear and said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Jesus told them that, and they fell at His feet and worshiped Him. And the language there seems to imply that they clung to His feet and they didn't want to let go. And eventually, when He told them to follow His instructions, "Go tell my other disciples that I will meet them in Galilee," they went and did it. They faced their fears and new reality by holding on to Jesus, but then they worshiped and followed His instructions. You know, life is full of unknowns, unexpected events, new realities that don't make sense, sometimes leading us to fear. I know for us, Jody and I, this last year, you might say, has been illness and cancer and falling. Oh my. And life sometimes throws us curves we do not always expect. And I don't know what you are facing today, but I know Jesus knows. And we may not be facing lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. But we do face unexpected events and new realities we weren't expecting from time to time. And I hope that we will hold on to the hand of Jesus, the one who calmed the storm, the one who opened the way so that we can experience God's presence at any moment, at any time, in any place, and the one who conquered death and the grave. Angels, earthquakes, and fear. Oh my. Oh my. Jesus is greater than our oh my's. Amen and amen. Well, we want to prepare our hearts this morning for to share in communion together. And as we always do, we share at the table. And I want to, as we normally do, we share together with our thanksgiving and confession to the Lord and in preparation for our time. So I want to invite all of you, if you would join with me as we prepare our hearts to receive from the grace of the Lord today at the table. All are welcome. You don't have to be a member of our church to partake. You don't even have to be following Jesus, because I believe in this moment, it's how we reach out to Him in our need. And today you can do that wherever you're at today and whatever you're facing. Would you join with me as we pray together this morning? Amazing God, we know there is nothing you cannot overcome. We confess to our profound need of your love, strength, and mercy. Too often we face new realities resigned to the status quo. We anticipate the worst even when you are the provider of every good and perfect thing. We allow despair over the conditions of our world to overwhelm us when you call us to follow you. Fortify us to live abundantly in your kingdom way. Transform us and breathe new life into us as we share together at the table in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive of that new life today. Maybe you came into this place and you've been feeling drained. Maybe you need a touch of His new life today. A fresh blowing of the wind into your life today with some fresh energy. Receive it today. Open your heart to Him. He is so willing. He loves us so much. Reach out to Him as we share at the table. I said it a moment ago, you don't have to be a member of our church or attend regularly. You're welcome to receive at the table of His grace today. I'm going to ask our deaconesses and deacons if they would come as we prepare to share at the table and receive of the grace of our Lord and forgiveness today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. on that night when Jesus was handed over, he took the bread and he gave thanks for it. He broke it and he passed it among them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Take and eat of it and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake.
Thank you.
Jesus took the cup and gave thanks for it, blessed it, passed, said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together.
The Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Take a moment and shake a couple hands and greet a few people right here close by you. And then we'll close out with our final chorus and then go get a picture taken.
Join together for our benediction this morning. Go and live as the risen children of God.
Amen. Go, for Christ is risen.
May God's resurrecting love open the future for us, empowered by the Spirit and embraced by Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.